I love it when the Lord brings a plan together. And I've been struggling between which message to preach, and I've had a couple of them, and you know, this one just settled on my heart. And Brother Brandon sang two songs, and if you look at one of the songs at the top of it, he used this verse, Romans 8:38-39. Brother Scott just sang about, you've been there all along. The Lord loves us and watches us, takes care of us. I want to speak to you this morning about the love of God. I mean, a lot of times, you know, we think about all kinds of things in life. But love is really the thing that is the glue for society. It's the glue for a marriage. It's the glue for a family. It's the glue for God taking care of us. It is that instrument. It is God's greatest command. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Love is the greatest word in the New Testament. If we can look at something, what is the greatest? What's the greatest word to be love? And now when you see the love of God. I remember growing up, and my grandfather, my grandparents, they had dogs and cats, and you didn't get too close to them, you know, because most of them were strays, and they would just throw food out. They lived on 120 acres, and then the people beside them were on a couple hundred acres. So it was an open expanse. And yet there was one dog called Happy, and Happy always sort of got a hold of my heart. I remember being a kid, and I was walking in the garden, and Happy starts growling and coming. I thought she was going to attack me. And pretty soon she dies right there in the weeds, right beside me. And I jump back, and she starts this, and she's slinging a snake. And so I looked at it, and I said, how did she know that snake was there? And then it hit me. She was watching out for me. So she always had a special place in my heart. Happy. I love animals, but then I don't love animals. I'm going to tell you why. Because they die. And it kills my heart. I just can't take it. I had a horse. I just saw the receipt. I don't know where it came from. It's in a little box of pictures in my closet. And there was a receipt laying on the floor. I don't know how it got there. But it was the receipt from my horse 60 years ago. And I pulled that up and I started, well, I wonder where she is right now. She's 60 years old as a horse. Well, you know, I just can't picture her dying. I just can't live with that. And so every time Susan wanted to get a dog, I'd say, no, 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 no. Yes, dogs are trouble, but they're very sweet. And if you get a good one, and they're loving. And so, you know, you enjoy that, but they die. And so, you know, people, they live longer. But whenever they go to heaven, it hurts. And so love is something that attaches us to other people. But let me ask this question. Some things separate us. Sin separates. Mistreatment, bitterness. Those things can separate families. Divorce is very rampant in America. Love is gone. What kills it? A lot of things. But I want you to notice something. A verse. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now that's a great statement. Keep in mind, there's a God in heaven that put the stars in his place, that made all this and made you and I, and he knows your name. And he sees you. And he loves you. I cannot explain that. As a preacher for almost 50 years, over 50 years, I cannot explain to you the love of God. But I just know it's real. And I know that it caused God to do some things. I want you to notice the love of God calls us to salvation. It is the love of God that calls us to him. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand this? All of us are sinners. If you have your Bible, I want you to see this. Turn back to Romans. We'll stay in Romans in one other passage, but notice if you would, Romans chapter 3. I want you to see this great love of God. Notice Romans 3. Look, if you would, in verse 10. Famous verses, but I just want you to see them this morning. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. In our basis form, we don't search for God. Really, he loves us. His love calls us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Now, who cares about things that are unprofitable? J.C. Penney's has heard it's shutting down. It's going bankrupt. It's been there for I don't know how many decades, but it's unprofitable, so forget it. I mean, there's all kinds of companies that have gone out of business because they're unprofitable. Forget it. And so you and I are unprofitable, and God didn't say, forget them. Forget Walter. Forget Scott. Forget Sam. Forget them. They're not a benefit to me. Notice what he says in verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. We bring him nothing back compared to what he gives. It's a drain on God. All of us are. Notice, if you would, we don't do good. We don't bring him anything. We don't love him back. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has an expectation for all of us, and all of us blew it. We're all a failure to God. Do you understand? All of us are fatally flawed. We're all going to die because of our sin. That's the reason. And we all deserve to go to hell because of our sin. And yet God says, I love you. Unprofitable. We're filthy sinners. And yet God says, I love you. I don't know why. I can't explain that. I don't know why Susan fell in love with me, but I was grateful. I don't know why the Lord fell in love with me, but I'm grateful. And I don't know why the Lord fell in love with you, but you ought to be grateful. Notice what his love did. Do you understand that his love came to us while we're sinners? Look over in chapter 5. Look at this. Romans chapter 5. Look with me if you would. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Notice if you would in verse 8. But God commendeth or gave his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why would anybody do that? You know, when people get older, I'm getting older. I'm grateful for my good health. But I just talked to someone this week that said, an old friend of mine that said, yeah, my wife is in ill health and she's got something and she can't walk now. And he said, but I'm not strong enough to lift her up. It's so sad to me because I see that she has to sit. She can't do anything. And so a lot of people would say, well, you know, they're not great. They're not of great value. A lot of countries don't value their seniors. Why? Unprofitable. They don't bring anything good to the country. They're just a drain. Do you realize God looked at every one of us under the sound of my voice, under the sound of the wind, under the sight of the stars, and said, you are good for nothing, but I love you. Wow. That thrills my soul. I was a licensed plumber at 18 years old, making a ton of money, and my dad owned the company. And I could have had a company of my own. And I said, and I could see the money that could be made. And I said, wow, that would be wonderful. And I said, but to tell people that are gross sinners that God loves them, that would be the greatest job in all the world. And God called me to preach because of his great love. And so I'm amazed when I read verse 8, but God commended, gave his love to us, toward us. And that while we are yet sinners, in other words, you and I didn't change. We didn't get better. We can't get better. We're sinners. We're fatally flawed. If we lived a perfect day the rest of our lives, what about the past? It still must be paid for. It's a debt. We owe a debt to God. And the only way to pay for it is to go to hell and pay for our own sins. And God says, but oh, I love you. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know if you put that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Christ died for us. So God saw that all of us were unprofitable. We were unwilling to trust him. We're unwilling to do anything that he asked. We're disobedient. We're gross sinners. And yet God says, but I love you. But Lord, why? And only one word comes back. I love. My love for you. And so the love of God says, okay, you know, I understand that you love me. I got that. But what does that do? That ought to call us to him. Anybody that loves us this much, you know, Susan loved the word charity. It's the word love. So she called every dog we ever had charity. So charity one, charity two, you know, they're all charities. And she just loved them. And the reason being is because she would find a dog that she would want one that was, and we'd go to the people to buy one. She'd say, I want one that's loving. And, you know, you get some that are, and she would usually get the runt of the breed, of the litter. And so then she would love on that one, and boy, they would return the love. And then so she would sit in her wheelchair, and Charity would jump up in her lap and just sit there. I would watch her prepare food, prepare our dinner with Charity laying in her lap. And she loved that. She enjoyed the love of Charity. So what do we give to the Lord? He said, nothing. And he said, I want to ask you for something, though. Would you give me your sin? What? You want me to give you all that you hate? Yes, I want to get rid of it. I want to pay your debt. Why would you want to pay my debt when I'm unprofitable? Love. I love you. I can't explain that. I can just tell it's real. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world. It's there for everyone. And so he says, look, if you would call upon me, if you would just call out to me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I'll say, because I love you. That's the love of God. The love of God encourages us to call out. I mean, that's what the love does. It causes us to do things that we would not normally do. The love of God calls us to salvation. And so that first step that we do is we say, okay, Lord, I see that you love me. I know that you love me. I see the cross on the Christ of the cross, and I see the great price that you paid. I don't understand it. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5 and verse 21. Notice, if you would, keep your finger in both of these passages. Romans chapter 8 and chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Notice, verse 21, for he, that's God the Father, has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Wow! That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He said, I want to make you perfect. I want to make you sinless. I'm going to take all of your sin completely away. The sin you've committed from the day you were born all the way to the day you die. I'm going to take them all in one big pot and I'm going to throw them all away and put them in the depth of the sea. I'm going to put them as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to get rid of your sin, but my son's going to pay for it. Shouldn't that call you and I to say, will you receive it? If it's a gift that great, and if he wants the worst things about us, shouldn't be willing to say, Lord, thank you. Shouldn't we be willing to receive that gift? So the love of God calls us to salvation, and God is calling everybody here today. Will you be saved? Will you trust my son and let him wash away your sin? Because I love you. So first off today, the love of God calls us to salvation. Everybody that's here. But I want you to notice the love of God. I want to take just a minute with this one. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. Again, keep your finger there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice with me if you would. In verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 is a great passage. Notice what it starts off in verse 1. Keep your finger on verse 14. But notice verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house made not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Why would God give us a home in heaven? Why would he give us a mansion in heaven? Because he loves us. I can't explain that, but I know he does. And so this passage is about all the goodness of God. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 9, he said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So I want you to see that this love of God that he's bestowed upon us causes something in our lives. Notice, if you would, in verse 14, once we've trusted him as Savior, verse 14, for the love of Christ, here it is, constraineth us. It's constraineth us to what? Well, to want to be accepted of him. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So the love of God constrains us. Now it constrains us to do several things. It constrains us to want to be accepted of him. Notice, if you would, look in verse number 9, that whether present or absent, we want to be accepted of him. So whether it's here or in heaven, we want him to be pleased with us. Are you pleasing to Jesus Christ because of what he's done for you? The love of Christ constraineth us. It holds us. It binds us. It pressures us to do something. And that doing something is, Lord, I know you love me. I want to please you. That's the first thing it does. I want to please you. Look, when you love your wife or you love your husband, you want to please them. When you love your parents, you want to please them. It's a part of love. It's when somebody loves you, you want to respond back. And you want to respond back to say, I want to do the things I can to make you happy. And God the Father is no different. He gives us the love of Christ. And then he says, look, the author here, Paul says, look, I want the love of Christ constrains me and it constrains you too. And notice what he does to be accepted of him. But notice verse 14. In verse, he gives the explanation of why it constrains us. Because we thus judge, we make a decision that if one died for all, if Christ died for all of us, then we were all dead. Then notice in verse 15, and that he died for all. Notice this, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. So the love of Christ constrains us not to live for our own sake. It constrains us not that we would just do what we want to do. And so when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you no longer say, okay, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to use the choices that I words. I'm going to use the same words I've always used because it's what I want to do. I want to be bitter. I'm going to hold it against that person. I'm going to do whatever. That is what we say, no, Lord, I don't want to do it anymore because I love you. It causes us to live differently. Notice, if you would, he said, which live should not live henceforth unto themselves for your own reasons. It means you and I don't live for our own purposes. We take his purposes. That's the reason being accepted of him is so important. You don't want to be accepted of him until you finally say, Lord, what is it you want for my life? Then you are not living for yourself. You're living for him and for his sake. And now you say, I'm going to trade my wishes and wants and do's and desires for yours. I'm not going to live unto myself, but unto pleasing unto you. Love causes that. That's the reason God said, the greatest command in all of Scripture is, I want you to love me. Do you understand the reason God made you and I in the first place was that we could learn to love him? And I think God said, if I'm good enough to Derek, if I'm good enough to Sean, they'll love me. And so he pours on his blessings. I'm going to take away all your dirty things and all your sin, and my son's going to pay for it. My greatest treasure is going to pay for it. And then, will you love me? And so Paul said, oh, when I realize what Christ did for me, notice what he says in verse 14. Because we thus make the decision that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I was dead. I had no choice. I had no help. Had no home. I was going to hell. I was without hope. And Jesus came. Why? That is the love of Christ. And so that love that God gives to us, the fact that God the Father made his own son sin for us, ought to have some effect on you. I mean, I've heard of folks giving a kidney for someone else. You know, we had a man in our church that was a wonderful softball player, great friend of mine, George. Crisp, he passed away several years ago in a softball accident. He was pitching, the ball hit so hard it hit him in the neck, severed his carotid artery, and he basically died on the mound. They medevaced him to the hospital. And I was there that night, whenever the family, he had written on his driver's license, I want to donate my body to help people, anything you can use. Well, he was in good health. He didn't drink. He was in perfect health. And so the family agreed. And so they gave away things. So years later, one of our men met a guy that was dying. He had kidney failure, much like Brandon's dad. And our guy from our church saw him a year or so later, and he was very near death, and he saw him, and he's perky and like normal. He says, man, what happened to you? He said, oh, man, he said, I got a new kidney. He said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, some guy up in Northern Virginia died in a softball accident, and I got his kidney, and boy, I tell you what, I am grateful. And this guy said, that was one of my best friends. He said, wow. You know, it's like I wished I could tell him, thank you. Well, what happens if you get more than a kidney? What if you, according to Isaiah, you get a new heart? What happens then? Well, in that new heart, therefore, notice what he says in verse number 17. This ought to have an effect on us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I got a new heart. I got new dreams. I got new goals. And Jesus Christ gave them all to me. So what does love say? It constrains me to love God back. And that means what things should be different? Well, I give my desires. I'm not going to live to myself anymore. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. Lord, is my language okay? Well, I'll change it. Lord, are my thoughts okay with it? I'll change them. Lord, is how I spend my money okay? I'll change it. Lord, is how I dress okay? I'll change it. You see, there is nothing you and I have the privilege of saying, this is what I do, and I don't want to give that to you. Not for love's sake. I love Susan very much. I would have done anything for her. I wished a lot of times, I said, Lord, why didn't you take my leg? Susan was not that athletic. I remember we were in Memphis and all the ladies talked her into playing ladies softball. I was a little apprehensive, but they let her play in the outfield. I said, okay, that's far enough away from the ball. I'm okay with that. I didn't want my wife to have a pug nose, you know what I mean, from a base softball hit her in the face. And so I said, well, okay, you can play in softball. And so she'd stand out there and the ball would be hit, but it wouldn't come to her much because they didn't hit them that far out there. And so then one time the second baseman was gone. And they said, Miss Pittman, would you play second base? I said, oh, no. Oh, no. She said, well, if you need me to, I don't know what to do. And they said, well, you just get the ball and throw it to first base. Or if the ball comes, you just get the ball and stand on second base. She said, okay, I can do that. So this girl gets up there, and you could tell, you know, she had played softball a long time, probably played on a team. And she gets up there, and she's got the bat, and she's giving it this. All of a sudden, the ball comes, she goes, whack! And that ball comes rocketing back to my wife. And I just, right toward the second base, I just want to close my eyes. And she goes, ah! Just like that. And the ball goes right in her glove. She caught it. Goes out. And my wife looks in her glove and she, you know, didn't know what to do with it. I said, oh, Lord, thank you so much. I said, Lord, thank you so much. Now, all I'm saying is my love said, you know, softball's not good for her. That was her final out. I said, if that ball would have been 2 feet farther to the left, well, it'd have been different. My wife would have looked different. I said, no more softball for you. She says, well, you know, okay. And so that was the end of it. Love said, look, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that anymore. She said, okay. So she wasn't athletic. So when she lost her leg, because she wasn't athletic, crutches were hard for her. So the wheelchair kind of worked, but even that, I mean, you know, she fell out of the wheelchair and ran over herself in the wheelchair and broke her other leg. I don't know if you knew that or not. So athletic wasn't good. And so in my mind, I said, Lord, I can handle 2 crutches. Why don't you take my leg? Why would I have said that? I mean, if Brandon loses a leg, he's on his own. I ain't giving him one of mine. I'm not even going to have the thought, well, Lord, why don't you take my leg? Or Scott or Sean or anybody else. I mean, you guys are on your own. I'm not going to have that thought. But love changes everything. It caused you to say, Lord, let me give that. Lord, let me give a kidney. Lord, let me give this or that, whatever I can give. Lord, if I could give my leg, I would. What causes that? Love. And so if God pours his love out to you and takes away all your sin, changes your destiny from hell to heaven, that love constrains us to say, Lord, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. That's the reason the Bible says that you make him the Lord of your life. You choose to say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want you to be my king. You're everything to me. Notice that reading he says in verse 15, should henceforth not live unto themselves. He said, that's what should happen when you realize you were dead and had no hope, and Jesus gave you hope. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians very quickly. I want you to see this verse very quickly, Ephesians. Notice if you would with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, if you would, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. God was angry with us, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, made us alive again. So it's the love of God that changes everything. So from that point on, then why wouldn't you and I look back at him and say, Lord, thank you. That love constrains us. Charity does a lot of things, messes up lots of times. But she almost gets grace because she's such a loving dog. You know what? My wife didn't make a lot of mistakes, but I would have forgiven her for anything because I loved her. And so you and I have to turn around and say, Lord, I want to love you. I want to care for you. Lord, I want to change my life to be pleasing in your sight. Your love constrains me. Now, nothing else does. You don't, because you come to Temple Baptist Church, you don't say, well, I go to Temple, I got to change this. Or I got to go, because I go here, I got to do this or that. That's not the reason you and I change. That's not the reason we give the Lord our heart. We give the Lord our heart because he first loved us. So his love demands our love. But I want you to notice one last thing. Not only does his love call us to salvation, and his love constrains us to be holy, to be holy and serve him, but I want you to notice also his love comforts us in trouble. You know, if you have your copy of the scriptures, and you'll notice in Romans chapter 8, notice if you would, the passage that Jeremy read, look in verse number 38. He said verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a long list here of things. In verse 37, he said, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. No, none of those things can separate us from the love of God. Notice if you would in verse number 38, for I am persuaded. You know, now the word persuaded, pithos, is the word convinced. Convinced by proofs. I am convinced by arguments that make sense. I am convinced that there's a God in heaven. I'm convinced because I know there was a cross. It's an historical evidence. I'm convinced that God loves me because there was a Jesus Christ. I'm convinced by evidence that his name was Jesus Christ and he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I know that. There's proof of that. And I know that he died, and there's proof of that. I know that he died for me because he said, Father, forgive them. And it's recorded four times. I know that Jesus Christ loves you and me. And that ought to comfort me. The fact that the God of heaven watches out for me. And nothing can change that. Notice if you would, in verse 38, I am persuaded, I am absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that's the old devil, nor things present, nor things to come. Now, nothing in my current life, nothing in my past life, nothing that's coming up in the future can separate me from the love of God. In other words, there's nothing. I'm convinced that there's nothing that the world can do to keep me out of the love of God. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 38, 39, nor height, nor depth. If I were to go to the moon, God still loves me. If I go to Mars, height, God still loves me. Notice if you would. Not only that, he says, or the depth. If I go to Marianas Trench, or even the one they found that's deeper than that, God loves me. Or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So today, that love comforts me. You know, you'll notice here that the love of Christ is something that all of us can have. And all of us can have that comfort level. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Psalm 34. I want you to see this. We're going to look at a couple psalms real quickly. Psalm 34, I want you to notice. Psalm 34, verse number 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God loves you and I. He encamps round about us. He watches out for us. Notice if you would turn to Psalm 18. I want you to see that. Psalm 18, just a couple verses back. Notice it, a couple passages back. Notice if you would. In verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Look at verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Look in verse 6. In my distress in COVID-19, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Do you understand that God loves you? And he says, I'm going to take care of you. Notice if you would in verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And thy right hand hath upholden me up. And thy gentleness hath made me great. And thou hast enlarged my steps under me. My feet did not slip. Do you see what God does for you and I? There ought to be a level of comfort in our heart that the Lord watches out for us. And that the Lord will encourage you and lift you up. He said, I'll take every footstep and I'll enlarge your steps. He said, I'll make it where they don't slip and slide. I'll steady your life. I'll take care of you. You know, we sang this song. I don't know if you heard it. A friend I have called, Jesus, whose love is strong and true and never fails. However, 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his. But when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Do you understand today that God loves you? His love calls us to salvation. Oh, yes. He wants us to be saved. His love constrains us that we ought to live differently. It ought to make you and I his great love that we wear his name. So, I mean, we're somebody different. He's called us to be ambassadors, to represent the King of heaven everywhere we go. He said, look, you represent me. That love should constrain us to say, I want to be different. We no longer live unto ourselves. And then that love comforts us. I've told many times, and perhaps my greatest example of comfort and protection that I can remember is on the farm of my grandparents, my grandfather especially. Like I said, my grandfather, I'm sure he was, but I didn't know if he was afraid of anything. I mean, we'd go out there on the farm, and whether it was a horse that would rear up, my grandfather would stand there and look him in the eye and say, you behave. And it would just seem like they just did what he said. I couldn't understand it. The big bull in the fence would walk in there, and he'd go right through the area there where the bull was. He'd walk right through that bull, and that bull would give me that look like that all the way down the line. And he looked at me, and I think he just struck fear in my heart. So I'd get right up next to my grandfather, almost keep my grandfather between him and me. But I can remember going out, and in the wintertime, it'd be so cold in Oklahoma that the food was all gone. So you had to feed the cattle and the horses straw, hay. So we'd go to the barn and get a 10, 15 bales of hay every morning. We get up, did it before church on Sundays. We did it every morning. You go out there and get the hay. You throw it out there. And, if you've ever seen a hay bale, it's in sections. So you take it and you throw it out. Well, you don't just want to throw it on one pile because, only four or five cows can get there, and all the rest of them have to wait, and they fight and kick each other. So my grandfather says, take that bale and spread it out. And I say, okay, granddad, but that bull's over there. Oh, don't worry about that bull. I'll take care of him. Granddad, go ahead and do it. So I take that thing, and I go out there, and he said, go on out a little further. You know, you just kind of get like that. But he's trying to make me stronger. But I didn't want to be stronger. I just wanted to be safe. And that may be all of us. You don't want to be stronger, but the Lord's trying to make you stronger. Like Brother Brandon said this morning in Sunday school, the love of Christ builds us, but it's always wanting you to be comforted. I'm with you. So I go out there, and I didn't know it, but my grandfather was watching how far I got out because he knew he could get to me before that bull could get to me. But I didn't know that. So I'm walking out there, and I take that straw, and I start going out there, and the bull starts coming toward me. And, well, you know, my grandfather's off the trailer, and he's walking out a little bit. He's just keeping out. And every once in a while, that bull would start, and my grandfather would step right over there, and he'd say, ha! That bull stopped, turn around. I tried that my whole life. It never worked. I don't know what it was. He just had something about him. And those cattle knew him. And so when I take that, put out there, finally I got comfortable where I just knew granddad's here. So I'd walk out there, throw that straw out, look at that old bull in the eye, throw that straw out. But it wasn't because I was tough. It's because he was there. And you know what? You and I may not be very tough, but he is there. And he can take care of you and I when we face COVID-19. He is there. When we face the loss of a loved one, he is there. And you and I, we can look at the old devil in the eye and say, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to do that because he is there. Today, it's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus. It's just like his great love to take care of you. So today, you're not alone. And I thrilled to read that verse in Romans. You know, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Are you persuaded that God loves you today? Does that persuasion call you to be saved? Does it constrain you? Does it comfort you? Let's bow our head for a word of prayer this morning. Oh, the love of Christ, what it's done for us. Love, I think of another song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. And from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. And love will lift you today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious love. Lord, the greatest gift you could ever give us was the love of God. And Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that people that have heard your word, that they would be constrained to no longer live for themselves, but to live for you. No longer spend for themselves, but to spend for you. Lord, no longer whatever, fill in the blank, they do for themselves, but to do for you. Lord, help us to want to be accepted by you. Now speak to heart this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.